Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
You will never be dragged to something great that God has for you. You will always be led, and we are led by the Spirit of God. We as believers are literally what we eat, digest, and ingest every day. We must always, every day, consume the things of God, whether that is His written word, whether that is personal time of worship and devotion with Him. Maybe it's a fasting schedule. Maybe it is your time here on Wednesday night, but every day of our lives has to be filled with something that we are consuming so that we can keep the Spirit fed. Remember, we must starve our flesh and feed our faith. Starve the selfish nature and feed the Spirit-filled life. Last session, we started off in Romans chapter 8, and we talked about that your conversion freed you from condemnation. Condemnation is an ugly weapon of the adversary. Condemnation, the enemy tells you this is where you messed up, this is where you sinned, this is where you fell short, but there's nothing you can do about it. But conviction by the Spirit of God says, this is where you sinned, this is where you fell short, this is where you messed up, but I've got good news. Jesus paid the price for you to get up again and go on your way and move forward. As believers, we belong to Jesus. And since we belong to Jesus, the power of His life-giving Spirit has freed us from the power of sin. Can I announce to somebody in the room and online tonight, you don't have to be under the power of the adversary anymore. You were freed from that 2,000 years ago, and I've just come to remind you and give you permission to act free, to stay free, to live and walk free. God sent Jesus to do what we in our flesh could not do in the law. The law pushes, but the Spirit leads. Jesus did it for us. Let me remind you, church, that when we couldn't do it, Jesus did it. When we wouldn't do it, Jesus did it. When we weren't even trying or thinking about doing it. When we were on the end of the bar, drunk out of our mind. When we woke up hungover next to somebody that we don't even know their first name. When we were stuck in religion and religious practices and we were not even having God thoughts, God did it for us. And we ended last session talking, we couldn't fulfill the law, so God filled us with His Spirit. Our flesh could not fulfill the 613 commands. And so He said, I'm going to send my Son Jesus. And He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fill it full. And when you accept Jesus and you get filled with His Spirit, now you're going to be able to walk a life of freedom and a life of power. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. We'll read these four verses where we left off. And we'll jump into verse 9 tonight. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Dominated is dominion. Remember, God created us in His image, and in Genesis 1 said, I've called you to live with authority and dominion. How do we do that? The verse goes on to say, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's almost spooky in Halloween season. You can be possessed by the Holy Spirit, and it will change your life. Just like the Exorcist movie, and she's vomiting and spinning her head, you can get filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's not going to make you vomit. It's going to help you do the things God has called you to do. It's going to help you walk a life of faith, walk a life of love, walk a life of power. It's going to help you not to go back to who you used to be. I am possessed, but I'm not possessed with that spirit. I'm possessed with His Spirit, praise God. Verse 6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Lay your hands on your head right now and just declare, Spirit, take control. I encourage you to do that when you wake up in the morning. Before you run a comb through your hair, before you put hairspray, before you shine it to a nice sheen, lay your hands on your head and say, devil, you are defeated. You don't have a place in here. I have the mind of Christ. I have the helmet of salvation, and I'm not going to let you control my thoughts, because if you've got my thoughts, you've got my life. If you've got my thoughts, you've got the direction in the future. You don't have that. God has my thoughts. Verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile, always at odds, always fighting. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Verse 8, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. I don't know about you, but more than pleasing my wife, more than pleasing culture and society, I want God at the end of my life to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, you amassed a lot of money. I don't want him to say you were very successful. I don't want him to say you were able to stay married. I don't want him to say you were able to raise above average kids. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the only way we can serve right is if we're led of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 9, new material. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. He's talking to believers. And he is making the assumption that as a believer, they're filled with the Spirit. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Everyone that walks the face of the earth, your boss, your co-workers, your family members, the person sitting to the left and right of you tonight, the person that's watching online, the person that's holding the microphone, every one of us is controlled by one of two forces. We are either controlled by our sinful nature, that is our flesh, or we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of God. Remember, your flesh cannot get the job done. If your flesh could do it, it would do it. But most of our flesh is not even trying to do good. Our flesh is sabotaging and cutting us off at every turn. The issue is believers have gotten stuck in the cycle of getting in the Spirit on Wednesday night at 7 and going right back to the flesh at 8:45. Getting in the Spirit on Sunday at 11 and going right back to the flesh by 1 o'clock that afternoon. Getting in the Spirit of our prayer time and getting back in the flesh waiting in line to pick up our kids at school. And we have learned not only to straddle the line, one foot in and one foot out, we jump in the world and then we jump into the things of God. When I'm here to tell you, once we get filled with the Spirit of God, we should never want to go back to who we used to be. It says you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, somebody say, is it in me? That's a good question. I'm going to borrow some of Sunday's text because it kind of intertwines with this series as well. When you converted to Christ, you changed camps. You changed families. You changed tribes. You hang out with different people. You desire different things. You eat different things. Things are different. And if you're sitting there watching tonight saying, when I got saved, not a lot changed. You didn't get saved. You got emotional. You got happy. You were going through hell and someone threw you a life vest and you were able to float back in. And once you got on the boat, you started living like hell again. It's all right. When you converted to Christ, you changed camps. Remember, convert, this is where we talked about on Sunday, comes from the Greek word metatropi. It means to transform religious beliefs. But the definition I love the most is it means transmutation, which means to change from one nature to another nature. Can I encourage you with this? 2 Corinthians 5, when it says that you are a new creation, old things are passed away, all things have become new. You are not even a little like you used to be. When Jesus saved you and his Spirit came on you and then in you, it literally transformed every single thing about you. That's why I don't understand when people say, when they say, well, Pastor, I've been cussing for 40 years. It's going to take me a little time. No, it's not, because that's not who you are now. It's a totally different person. Well, Pastor, I've had this addiction for 30 years, and so you're going to have to wait while I wean myself off. If it was up to you, I could understand that. But can I remind you, Jesus' work at Calvary is a finished work. It's not a work in progress, which means that nature died on the cross and a new nature We change, we shift, we become a new nature. Reminder from Paul, he says, and remember, the end of verse 9, he says, and remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Before you get mad, I am quoting the Word of God, that it's not Living Way or Brandon talking. Paul said, let me remind you, remember, if the Spirit of God is not living in you, you don't belong to Jesus. Rewind all the way back to verse 1. And those that belong to Christ, now there is no condemnation. Well, Pastor, I still kind of feel condemned. Are you full of the Spirit? Because if you're full of the Spirit, you belong to Christ, and none of that condemnation is in you. But Paul brings us a scary reminder, and he says, but let me remind you, if the Spirit doesn't live in you, then you don't belong to him. That means when you go to the rest of Romans chapter 8 that everybody loves to quote, all things, verse 28, work together for my good. Yeah, if you belong to Christ and his Spirit is living in you. Romans 8:31, if God before me, no, doesn't matter. No thing can be formed. Nobody can stand against me. Yes, if you belong to Christ and his Spirit is within you. I am more than a conqueror, verse 37 says. Yes, if Christ belongs to you. If you belong to Christ and his Spirit is in you, there is a big if. All of the great things we love to quote in Romans 8 only happen when you belong to Christ and his Spirit is on you and in you. Somebody say amen. Amen. I think it's important, too, that we point this out in the New Testament for new believers or unsure believers or questioning believers. There are two assumptions made about every believer in the New Testament. Number one, when you met somebody that said, I'm a follower of Christ, two assumptions were made. They've been baptized in water. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the assumption that I make about believers is, have they been to the water and have they been baptized? Because you wouldn't be dealing with some of the stuff you're dealing with if you had been to the water and if you were full of the Holy Spirit of God. Pastor, your life seems so perfect. Not perfect, but I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Everything seems to always work in your favor. It's nothing I've done, but it's because I belong to Christ and I am filled with his Spirit. Can I encourage you, if you are a believer in the room or online, go get baptized tonight if you haven't, and I would run to this altar right now if I didn't speak in tongues and say, hey, I want to make sure that heaven knows, that hell knows, and that everybody knows I belong to Christ, I've been to the water, and I've been filled with his Spirit. This is something that a lot of pastors would circumnavigate, but I have to tell you that a lot of the promises in the New Testament are made from the assumption that you have followed Jesus Christ to the cross, you have followed Jesus Christ to the water, and you have followed Jesus Christ to the upper room. So if there are, and I knew I wouldn't get a good amen right there. If you are having issues in your life, or you feel like your life has been robbed of some of the promises of the New Testament, I've got one question for you. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit that you feed is the Spirit that's going to lead. And if you are feeding the right Spirit, you are going to be led to the right places. You are going to be led to the right seasons of your life. Isn't it amazing how in 2,000 years things change? The assumption of New Testament is you're saved. Oh, I can smell the Jordan River on you. Oh, you're saved. Oh, you've been to the upper room. Now we got a lot of believers that know who Jesus is, but they aren't filled with his Spirit. They don't walk by his dictates and by his word. Somebody say amen. Verse 10, let's go a little further. And Christ lives within you. That was a good place to say amen. Christ lives within you. He doesn't live with you. He lives within you. See, if he lived with you, you'd have to check your back seat to make sure he was going to work and school with you. You'd have to make sure he was going to the courtroom. You'd have to make sure he's going to the dentist, to the doctor. You'd have to make sure he's going with you to the in-laws for sure. But when you know Christ lives in you, he's everywhere I am. I carry not a measure of the Spirit. I carry an overwhelming of the Spirit wherever I go. Sister Chris sitting right here on the front row, she carries the Spirit, y'all. She carries it to Denny's. She carries it to IHOP. She carries it down to the King Williams District. She carries it to Chick-fil-A. She carries a lot of places she eats. She carries a lot of places she goes. Why? Because there's no separation. She is living a Spirit-filled life. Some of us love to have the Spirit when we worship. Then we say, Spirit, you're going to live over here. I'll meet you back, row 2, section 3, Sunday morning at 11. I'm going to be right back here, and we're going to have us a Spirit-filled service. The problem is, nowhere in the Bible does it say to have a Spirit-filled service. But the New Testament is teaching, leading, guiding us on how to live a Spirit-filled life. And Christ lives within you. Isn't that great news? Christ lives in you. That's power, church. However, Christ lives in you. That's responsibility, church. All we love to talk about the power. Power to do, call those things that are not as though they are. Power to cure cancer. Why is it the only cancer you pray about is the cancer your family gets? Why is it the only time you talk to God about prosperity is your prosperity? Could it be that you've got a great responsibility in the Spirit-filled life that I am carrying the answer that this world needs? Because I promise you, you show me a problem in society and I'll show you the Holy Spirit that can fix that problem. Christ lives within us. Here's where it gets dicey. If Christ lives within us, we've got to watch what we do, what we say, where we go. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I like how the NLT says it. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. By the way that you live, by the way that you operate on Monday to Saturday, by the way that you treat your neighbor, and not just your Spirit-filled neighbor, your gay neighbor, your Democrat or Republican neighbor, your Muslim neighbor, your confused neighbor, your trans coworker, your Buddhist. It's not all of us getting together and shouting about Jesus. It's sharing Jesus and saying, God, I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit by living a life that grieves you or by not being an instrument for you to flow through. Spirit-filled life. It's not so that everything can come this way, church. Many times we have a responsibility that God has given us things to steward so that we can steward his Spirit. We can steward his love. We can steward his mercy. We can steward his hope. Verse 10 continues, and even though your body will die because of sin, even though your body will die because of sin, how much time do we spend on a body that will never see eternity? And how little do we spend on a spirit that will live forever somewhere? It's not in my notes, and I don't say this to scare people. I say this to challenge you, and maybe this is a word that somebody needs to hear today. The Bible talks about in heaven we are perfected and we have a glorified body. But in hell, you go down there with the body you got. And it burns up, and it's painful. And some of us would laughingly say, well, I can handle the pain for 30 seconds. The only problem is your body regenerates, and it burns again. And it regenerates, and it burns again and it regenerates. And that happens forever and a day. You think 30 seconds is long? Try 30 million years and you're just getting started. All because we said, I'm going to spend more time on the shell than I am making sure that my spirit is being controlled by God and making sure that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Please, church, don't let your flesh rob you of God's power. Don't let your flesh rob you of God's salvation. Don't let the dirt, the skin that God covered you, rob you of the divine. For those of you that have been here on Sundays, don't let your bios and suke rob you of Zoe. Verse 10 continues on, the Spirit gives you life. Our bodies die, but His Spirit lives. Our bodies die, but His Spirit lives. I remember Mandy used to always stay on the kids about brushing their teeth. I'm talking about kids 4 or 5 years old. If I heard it once, I heard it a million times. Tyler, make sure you brush your teeth. Jaden, make sure you brush your teeth. And then I would just tell the kids, listen, kids, y'all can brush those things. Y'all can polish them. Y'all can floss until the day is done. Those teeth are going to fall out your head. And you're going to get new teeth. Make sure you take care of the new ones. But some of us are polishing the exterior. We're making sure that the exterior is good. The exterior is dying every day. Here's a morbid thought. The day that you were born, there is a clock. God knows the time, and it has been counting down the seconds until your life is over. And the shell will very, very soon return back to the earth. But what is on the inside will live forever somewhere. And that should excite you tonight, or it should terrify you tonight. If it excites you tonight, let it be just an encouragement to keep on the Spirit-filled life, to keep moving forward in Jesus' name. If it terrifies you tonight, in 2 minutes, you're going to have the chance to come to an altar and receive Jesus Christ. And when you say yes to Jesus and His act on the cross and His resurrection, He's going to give you the ability to be filled with His Spirit. Our bodies die, but His Spirit lives. And this is what the Bible says in verse 10. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. His Spirit causes us, even in this shell that will die, causes us to be the righteousness of God. We're going to end here, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. I'm going to say that again. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, now lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies. He said, I will fill that shell with a consuming spirit, the same spirit living within you. This is the thing, church, the same spirit. It's the same spirit, not a different spirit. Not a junior spirit, not a tenth of the spirit, the same spirit. See, here's what I think, church. Some of us have been in and around Pentecost for too long. We become numb to this verse. We shout about the Spirit. We speak in tongues. We might even roll in the floor and run the aisles. But I'm here to tell you, more than that, we need a same spirit on your job tomorrow morning and every place that your foot treads. When we hear the same spirit, it is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And if that's not good enough for you, let me go through just a couple verses. It's the same spirit that in Genesis 1 hovered over the deep emptiness and waited on the voice of God to say, let there be light. It is the same spirit that when Moses was ready to walk through the Red Sea, an eastern wind blew and parted the Red Sea in Exodus 14. It is the same spirit when Ezekiel was standing in Ezekiel 37 in a valley of dry bones, when God said, prophesy to the wind. It is the same spirit that made armies for Ezekiel. It's the same spirit that rolled the stone away. It's the same spirit that brought life back into the body of Christ after 3 days of death. It is the same spirit that came down as fire to rest on those in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. I am here to tell you that same spirit now dwells in you. If you have been filled with the spirit, I am here. That's not something to patty cake about. That's something to jump up on your feet and rejoice that the same spirit did all of that. He put it in us. He put it in us. The same spirit. When you think about that, church, the same spirit that raised Christ's dead body after 72 hours, and we're concerned about the cancer report, and I'm not making cancer, I'm not naive. My family's been through it a dozen times. But when you look at cancer in my body or in your body and compare it to the death of the Savior, the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. The same spirit. Genesis 1, that same spirit. That spirit was waiting on the word of God to be spoken. Guess what? Here we are, October 11th. That same spirit is waiting on the word of God to be spoken about your situation. The same spirit. Exodus 14, Moses is standing there, the Red Sea's in front of him, the Egyptian army's behind him, and he's got what seems to be an impossibility in front of him. And God says, don't worry. He said, I need you to do what you do so I can do what I'm talking to somebody in 2023 that you are up against a Red Sea in your life. You are up against an impossibility. You've got an army behind you, and you've got a mountain in front of you, but the same God that parted the Red Sea is going to part your life.